There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left. Side stories.
Yes, from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Lordy, 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 look who feels 40. That's me. It's me. Hi.
Lordy, 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 look who feels 40.
It's me.
That's a great rhyme, but you're not even close to 40. You're 37.
Yeah, I'm all just, I am a precocious student's college career away from being 40.
That's amazing.
It's fine.
I am
39 and holding.
I'm 5 months away from being 40, and that's how we're going to start this episode, middle this episode, and end this episode. What's it like? Well, I got to tell you one thing. I heard life begins at 40. You know who said that? John Lennon. And then you know what happened to John Lennon?
Bam, bam,
exactly.
Bam. Yeah, every time.
Can we trust anything that man said?
I don't think so, except for imagine if there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. You can think it.
You can think it, although once you are truly sad, like when the celebrities sang Imagine, you realize when everything was going wrong with COVID, you realize that that message for COVID was horrible because people probably needed a little something to have faith in.
But then
he was like, Imagine, nothing is real.
Yeah. And it's like, so in a way, it's like when people do that thing, which I understand. I know friends that have, and people that like run to like Buddhism or like things where things don't exist outside of your own mind.
Transcendental meditation.
Simulation theory. I do like a trend. A TM does work for people.
Oh, yes.
But it's like things like simulation theory, it's supposed to kind of be anxiety relieving because you're like, nothing is real. But then also that inherent idea is actually very terrifying.
Absolutely. Did somebody just hit the X button on a remote control in a parallel universe to make me have to take a dump right now?
But honestly, at the same time, understand that nothing is real. We are just a collection of clouds of atoms, and you just have to change your fucking atoms, bro.
You can control your atoms however you want to control them to make yourself better or worse. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry.
Or worse.
Or worse. We are having a great time together today. I hope everyone is doing well out there, hanging in there. If you've gotten your shots, congratulations. And if you haven't, well, it's coming up around the corner. So stay safe and stay positive because we are almost through this GD thing.
Close.
We're getting close.
Vaguely close. But you know who didn't get close?
Who?
It's come down to people right now. They're hungry for content.
Yeah, right? Actually, that is true.
We're at the end of the quarantine. People are still deeply hungry for deeply hungry for content.
Well, they need it to make themselves feel happy sometimes.
And we all, we're kind of chasing that, oh, don't we want to just go viral? You remember that?
I don't know. Going viral is taken on a different term in COVID,
Definitely.
Will say, because it's not so good anymore.
We were watching the new Stan show on CBS, whatever.
Oh, yes.
The Stand, and it's just, it is not triggering, but it's definitely very, the way they show you get sick in the Stand is someone goes,
whoa.
You're like, that's it?
Now you're an enemy of the state.
Yep.
Oh, my.
But people want to be, people want to be superstars. And sometimes it doesn't really work out. And you think that during this, everyone says, during COVID, everybody's got time to like come up with new fun ideas, you know, because we're not working. And isn't it fun? If you don't have the weight of like making all that money coming in, then you're definitely able to express yourself more freely creatively.
Well, that's why all of those people who are extremely successful, extremely wealthy, who mostly just did yoga at home already, can go on Twitter and say, I hope you learned a language this past year.
It's like,
you
I'm
loser.
I'm gonna go insane. But this guy was also wrong.
Oh.
This is rapper charged with chopping off British teacher's penis to make a gory YouTube video. This is by Graham Keeley from The Independent.
I don't. Why? First of all, again, thank you all so much for watching the last stream on the left. My eye is better after drinking a bit of the
bomb. Insane.
I'm an idiot. But I'm just going to say this. If he's not banned from YouTube, I don't know what their terms of services are.
I have no clue.
I don't know what they're doing.
A Spanish rapper has gone on trial accused of cutting off a British teacher's penis with a 12-inch kitchen knife I forget who paid. I believe that the man paid the man who cut the penis paid the man with the penis £173.
It's about 200 euro.
In a deal so that the victim could get hits from the gory video on YouTube.
Okay, so hold on a second. So Aaron Beltran, that is the rapper. The graduate student that had his penis cut off is Andrew Breach. he thought his dick was only worth 200 euro.
It's it.
And he thought that he was going to be able to monetize this in a way to make his money back tenfold.
Aaron Beltran allegedly made the agreement with Oxford University graduate Andrew Beach, who agreed to pay the accused. Oh, yes. So Andrew Beach wanted to pay the man who cut his penis 173 pounds. Depending on how many times the amputation video was shared on social media, the fee ranged from 173 pounds to a maximum of 2,164 pounds.
So why is the rapper the one who is being charged here? I understand he cut off the British teacher's penis. Also, British teacher and rapper really don't matter. It's penis cutter and penis cutty.
Yes.
That really is how the headline should read. It seems like the guy wanted it to happen. It's extremely confusing. Beltran now faces up to 4 years and 6 months if he's found guilty. For snipping this man's penis off. I do have to clarify one thing. 12-inch knife. This guy may have had a hog on him.
I mean,
That's a big-ass knife. You could cut my dick off. I don't want to, like, oh, humble brag. Inch and a half long knife. You can carry the knife that it would require to cut my penis off in New York City legally.
You can take it on a plane.
Yes, you could take that. A 12-inch knife to cut off a dong. Isn't that, that's like bringing a bazooka to a gunfight. That is a big-ass knife for cutting such a theoretically tinier thing.
It might be overkill. A police officer told the court he found Mr. Breach, 35, who worked at, who worked at a language academy in Zaragoza, bleeding heavily in the city center.
And
the
officer, is where we're going to learn today how to say, I don't want my penis anymore, kids.
Yes, sir, like, no, me da la pinga.
There you go.
I don't know if that's true.
Nailed it.
The officer, who was not named, said he went to the house that Britton shared with Mr. Beltran. So they were roommates. Where the accused told him that the teacher's penis had been severed and dumped in a rubbish bag. Another officer said, when interviewed, the victim in hospital told us that the accused cut off his penis. Andrew said he did not feel 100% a man and he wanted to get rid of his penis. So
okay.
He was voluntarily getting rid of his penis.
There are a lot of safer ways to get rid of the penis. Please don't reenact the scene from the movie Desperate Living when she got the penis and then cut it off with a pair of scissors. Just be safe, because I heard there's a lot of blood down there.
It's difficult to do, apparently, because I don't know in the UK what insurance covers, right, in terms of you're trying
more
to get
more than
rid
we
of
got
your,
that's
your,
for damn sure.
Yes. He agreed to a deal with the accused to pay him 200 pounds, which depend on how many views the video of the amputation received on YouTube. It was done on the basis of this. The British teacher subscribed to a website, and he was looking for someone to film him mutilating himself. So he was actually, so this comes from the British teacher.
We actually have, I feel like this is the fourth or third story we've covered in the past about 12 months with a fetish like this.
Yes.
But the interesting thing is, to this story, most people don't want to monetize when they've cut off a limb or cut off their penis or whatever it is. But this guy, I guess he was trying to double dip.
He's like, I'm done
with my dick and let me also become famous or become a YouTube celebrity. But can you monetize a dick getting cut off on YouTube?
I don't know. It's nice work if you can get it. But I wonder it is interesting, because they did think that this was going to be a phenomenon. And I don't think that they understand that YouTube, they can't monetize this.
I don't know how they would. I also don't know if there's a massive market for it. I would assume
there
is.
I'm certain there is. But Mr. Breach, he told the court that actually he had cut off his own penis, contradicting an earlier sworn statement in which he said Beltran carried out the amputation. He said, I cut off my own penis. All was unwell. It was myself. Mr. Breach said he made a statement to police that Beltran had sliced off his penis because he felt under pressure from officers.
And it is possible that Beltran did slice off his penis. I can't imagine. We're not all those surgeons that did surgery on themselves in front of the hall during the university testing of when they were working on medicine and they would do self-surgery. I have a feeling Beltran did it. This fella, Breach, was trying to protect him and said, no, I did it. But of course, Beltran is still taking the fall. And it turns out this guy, and despite that, the prosecutors have said, yes, even if you wanted his ding dong cut off, you can't do it. So the prosecutors are still prosecuting.
What?
But then
that's weird though, right? I wonder why. Isn't it voluntary? Like, why do we have to be so
upset? This is why. Never call the police unless it is dire, because you will not get to drop the, you won't be able to drop charges.
You can't parents, set your own narrative.
No, yeah. Parents used to call the police in like the 80s and the 90s. Maybe this is just a made up story from a fantastical past that I'm creating in my head, but I believe they used to be able to do that as like a lesson to the kids. But
cut
now,
off their penis?
No, just call the police.
Oh,
to
yes.
Be like,
oh,
and the police
yes.
will give you a stern talking
I
to.
I remember that. Honestly, that had happened, not to me, but I had friends that had happened too,
yes.
Where they come in, the cops came, put the dude in handcuffs.
Do you like, see what could happen?
It's true. And I had that happen to me when I was a little boy, when I was faking running into the store next door to where we went to the church. We went to this like an all non-denominational church. Like,
I know one of your fake churches where you don't make a choice.
We
you
don't
choose
make a choice.
A side church.
I went into the bodega next to that church with a guitar amplifier strapped to my chest. And I said, I had a bomb, right? I thought it was really funny. And everyone like, you know, the guy wasn't like that amused. No one reacted.
Right.
But then the cops came. And they did a whole thing. They put me in the back where they were like, this is what happens to a terrorist. But not really, because a terrorist gets, you know, really beaten.
Exactly. And now, of course, we had that child who brought a clock to school 8 years ago, and he was in trouble, and yep. He got actually arrested. So cops, once they arrest somebody, they don't really care if you want them arrested anymore, because now they're on a mission to make sure that man suffers. But speaking of suffering.
But look at this. They popped the penis back on.
Yes. Evidently, surgeons were able to reattach the penis, which is, you can almost see the scene. With any luck, we can reattach it. It's bionic.
Mm-hmm.
I now, if I'm this guy, I'm like, oh my God, now I still have the same penis, which makes me upset.
I don't want the penis anymore.
I don't want the penis. And also, couldn't you like make it cool, like a robo penis, like a robocock, like do something with it that's extra special?
Toronto Raptors illustration.
My God. You could do a whole series of fun things, but I'm assuming these doctors just put it back on.
Yeah, but the his penis, and what I do like is that the Independent somehow knows his penis was successfully reattached during an operation and is understood to be functioning properly.
Well, he's going to have more work to do in the future, and we'll see if this works out for Mr. Breach. I don't think the YouTube channel is up. I don't think the YouTube video is available. I don't think he was able to monetize it. It seems like he just got his roommate slash potential friend in trouble for cutting off his own penis. But you know what? His buddy is a rapper. And you don't have to go to prison to have credit as a rapper. That's actually a myth. You can also just be very talented. No need for prison. I highly recommend against it if possible.
But is home castration the type of crime that rappers brag about in song?
Well, he can now. And he can also talk about potentially 4 years in the clink. So perhaps this catapults the rapper's career. The man, the ding dong, now that we know he doesn't want it, hopefully he can take care of these things in more appropriate manners.
Did hard time, got caught for cutting dicks.
Yeah.
It didn't really help me with the chicks.
You are a horrible rapper, and I'm sad that that happened.
I am really upset
well, that
with
is
myself.
That's that story. So if you want to get your ding-dong cut off, please, God, I don't even know how to do it. I don't know how to do it.
What, cut a penis off?
I don't know. I just want...
Start at the base.
No,
above the balls.
I want the person who is doing it, if I really want them to do it, I want them to be safe. But how do you sign a contract? It just seems like the law doesn't care about this deal that I've made with a consenting partner. And again,
you know who
that's
maybe
government overreach.
You know, body mod people might be able to do this. I'd actually trust somebody who does like one of those things where they make the, you know, they put like the lumps under the skin.
I have seen some body mod penises in my day.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh-wee, have fun with it. That's
where are you seeing them?
You can go on websites.
You just look up the term body mod penis?
You can.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, look it up. No, I know exactly what it's going to do.
I'm going to look up body mod penis. Let's
it looks like when does. When you overcook a hot dog and it busts open
it.
On the
penis splitting. I don't
yeah,
like
it's
that.
Mostly that's it. That's body
like
mod penis.
Oh, wow. Look at the texture that penis got.
Oh,
that is
yeah.
very interesting.
Oh
wow.
Interesting.
That one is very. Ooh, look at that.
Well, you can do so much with a penis, and we're just letting ours be all weird. And
I guess we're only using 10% of the penis. Is that what they're saying?
Like, look at this. So
this man has wow.
Holy
hell! But just his penis is very disturbing.
That's 10% of his body weight.
Yeah, it looks like a clam's foot.
All right. Well, let's move on.
I hate that I looked at this. I'm really very upset.
Live from your grave.
Speaking of feet, this is actually going to be our final story before we have our fantastic interview with Prince Midnight.
Our hero of the week. We actually got him. We're starting to build.
Yes.
We're starting to build the pack around us.
I realize I should have said that earlier on in the show, just letting people know we have an interview with Prince Midnight. That'll be
he came on to settle the score and say that he is maybe... is not these other men.
He was fantastic. We talked with him about his uncle's bone guitar. We got the story.
Got the scoop.
Surprisingly sweet tale, actually.
Yes.
There's something about metalheads, as we've talked about, the more aggressive the music that someone likes, usually just the sweeter they are in real life. They're almost like quaint.
Sometimes, but then some of them, then they begin to believe that they're super evil.
Yeah, then there's also that aspect of it. Oh, don't even bring, speaking of YouTube, I think he's still on there, isn't he? All right, well, this tale, this comes from beautiful Australia. So a woman, she cut off, speaking of, we're talking only about people who cut things off today.
Yep.
She cut off her own foot to trick police into thinking she was dead.
Why was it? What's the point of it?
This is something that we're not really sure about. She has been accused of fraud. Her name is Melissa Caddick. She's 49. She vanished November 11th of last year.
This is why. It's because she apparently scammed 68 investors out of $14 million and then just straight up vanished.
So she is quite a bit in trouble, and she's lucky she only lost a foot. So the day after this scam, everyone was like, this isn't good. She disappeared. It's under investigation. They found this foot wearing an ASICS shoe.
Ooh, good plug.
Good plug for ASICS. But then they said something seems strange because no more remains were found. And usually if you find a foot, you would say there's a leg. Which goes up to a torso.
This actually happens a lot. This was happening a lot in Mexico.
Well, you know why that was.
Why?
They said that those were suicide victims.
That was one theory.
That was one theory, yeah. Because they said at some point it just washes up on shore, which is a great gift for the kids.
They're theorizing. They said, like, there's always a chance she cut her foot off and is still alive, though it's pretty fanciful. Which is, I mean, who knows? Because you're looking at this thing. She was a fraud artist,
I guess.
She was accused of fraud. She apparently, because they went looking for her, corporate watchdog ASIC executed a search warrant for her luxury $3 million home. She's accused of swindling more than $14 million worth of investors' funds and leaving 68 victims of fraud in her wake. She disappeared. Ooh. And yeah, man, she could have lost that foot. She could have thrown that foot out that window.
She definitely had a life. She had a husband. She had like a lot of stuff going on. But apparently she made too many mistakes and she had to cut off her own foot and run away.
Got
to
cut that weight, man. And it's like, see here, it's not common to see body parts wash up so far south of Sydney and in such good condition, given she went missing on or about November 11th. And this is now. And the coroner keeps saying, not to say it can't happen. The coroner will make further determinations, but they're saying that, yeah, this thing should have been floating in the water since November, and it's now March. And then when they found the foot, it was fairly fresh.
So, and she is a 49-year-old, and everyone said, well, I guess we're satisfied that she's dead. Oh, but I don't think that's the case. So a severed foot, it was a great throw-off, but the search was called off last week because Mr. Fuller said the foot could have been planted to end public and police interest in the case. This is what he had to say. This is her husband. He says, of all the beaches and feet in the world, to find hers, what is the probability of that? Literally,
don't know.
At some point in your life, if you're like, you're going to have to say the sentence, of all the beaches and feet in the world, to find hers, what's the probability of that?
He fell in love with that foot.
Yeah, it does.
Man, God, that foot just rolled into my life because nothing like a man without a foot. Honestly, I was half a man. But now that I have this severed foot, I'm a full-on police officer.
So her husband seems to think that he's dead, but is he just part of the deception so that she can go live a life? But I'm just going to say this. All you have to do is find the woman with one foot. You know, the story of the one-armed man.
Mm.
She really gave herself like a big thing that's so very noticeable, isn't it?
You could stuff a foot. You could stuff it with, you could get a fake foot. I don't know how fast you can get a fake foot, but you probably can. She already stole, she had the money.
Yeah.
She took all that money. They're saying that she might have jumped from a cliff that was very close to her offices, which might, I mean, that does sound fairly like it's, you know, simple. They didn't find the rest of her, but you're saying exactly what you said about the feet going and the hands happening in Mexico, washing up on the shore. That does sound like technically cuts directly to suicide.
Oh.
The search for the 49-year-old was called off last week, but Mr. Furler said that the foot could have been planted to end public and police interest in the case. There was a radio interview that it follows Rodo Coletti, the father of Caddick's husband's Anthony. Caddick's husband, Anthony. So
okay, this is the father-in-law.
Her grandfather. but by marriage. They're saying they want to clear the husband of any sort of wrongdoing. And they're just basically saying, we think that she committed suicide.
Okay, we don't know. The foot was washed up. I think it's possible she cut it off, well, and now she's on, not the run, but on the hobble.
His husband, her husband got actually brought into this shit because Mr. Colletti was unwittingly implicated in Caddick's scheme by his signature being forged to verify bogus documents. He also, like, so she had pulled him into this bullshit as
well. You know what's kind of sad? I mean, I never really want to do it, but the probability or the possibility, everyone has always fantasized about just getting away.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't do it really anymore.
No.
I mean, especially not if you pepper the entire place with your limbs.
I mean, that's what's hard. That's an actual human breadcrumb.
Right. But you know what? The more I think about this story, $14 million in debt, probably looking at some severe prison time. Yeah, maybe she just took her own life.
She might have just done it. She might have just jumped. She was got big arms.
But isn't that the gift?
I mean,
keeps
like
on
she
giving?
Did a lot of arm work. She's lifting a lot of weights.
That's why you should always have nice shoes just in case you swindle people out of $14 million and you need to jump off of a cliff.
That's how they knew is that it was actually a fairly like high end. It was like one of those limited run ASIC shoes. So it was like a fancy shoe like we got.
All right, so we don't know what the hell is going on with her, but be careful out there, and I'm sorry, if you want to get away, it's just not as easy as it used to be. Also,
it's not.
Unless you want to be on the show Fraudsters, hosted by our boys,
yep.
Don't steal $14 million
please
from people.
Please don't steal $14 million, or if you do, give it to the children.
Give it to the children. That's a Peter Pan? No, that is...
Michael Jackson, he gave it to the children.
No, Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
he got it. Batman molested him.
Well, that is not true. All right. Well, I think we should get to our conversation with Mr. Prince Midnight.
Let's get to the bottom.
All right, so Prince Midnight, this is... I'm going to say, whoop, what is that I just put on? My R. Investigative reporter caps.
Yep. Wow, it's very tall.
Because
it's very tall. It's like a stovepipe cap.
I give you some credit for this interview, though, Henry, because we're talking, we're chit-chatting, you'll be listening to it. And then Henry Zebrowski comes in with the hard questions.
Yep. Gotcha journalism.
It was great gotcha journalism. And he didn't seem to be got, but
no.
But he felt...
He saw that I asked a question.
Yeah, we were like Diane Sawyer.
I felt like that, but same cup size.
All right, everyone. Enjoy this conversation with the hero of the week, Prince Midnight. And if you want to see a portion of the video, you can go to our Patreon. We didn't realize that Prince Midnight was going to
put on a fucking show, dude.
He's in full makeup with his band. They're all awesome. So check out our Patreon if you want to see the conversation we have with Prince Midnight. It is awesome. All right, let's get to the conversation. So, all right, everyone, we have talked extensively about this guy.
Yes.
And he came to prominence, dare I say fame, when he supposedly made a guitar out of his
uncle's... Don't supposedly in front of the man.
Okay, made a guitar out of his uncle's bones.
Yes.
And we talked about it. So we are honored to have with us now Prince Midnight, and it's not just Prince Midnight. We are also with Prince Midnight's two wonderful... I'm assuming minions?
Minion is... That seems insulting to a very large man.
No, it's very nice. Prince Midnight, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. We got Chris over here. He was my drummer. And this is Belphegor. And Belphegor is a guitar player in the band. Even though I built the guitar, you know, I'm more of a mallet percussionist than a vocalist. So that's why he's got it swinging around his neck right now.
Dude, we have to separate because sometimes we can't all be masters of everything.
Right, of course. You have to delineate some of the responsibilities of the band.
Yeah. So me and Chris recorded that record, and we've played with Belphegor before, so he's signed up, and now we're waiting for an opportunity to start playing shows, you know?
Dude, honestly, I feel like as things come up, because what is the name of the band? Is it Prince Midnight? Is that the name of the band?
Prince Midnight is me, but it's also a band. You know, these...
It's the man and the brand.
Yeah, I'm the man and the band.
It means so much.
I love it, man.
And honestly, was that possum, the taxidermied possum that I believe Chris...
It's not taxidermied. That's a live possum.
That is a live
That is a real possum, buddy.
And I tell you what, man, it is so well behaved.
Well, they play possum, you know, so.
That's incredible.
That's what they do. So Prince Midnight, we've got to talk to you because in Florida, there's been a lot of investigative reporting going on.
I'm a Florida boy. My family is from Clearwater. I'm excited to talk to a hometown hero.
Hometown hero, to say the least. But Prince Midnight, let's just maybe just start with, how did you become Prince Midnight?
Yeah, how does a man...
A former man.
A former man go to become, I mean, honestly, like, fall in love with fucking heavy metal and adopt the moniker of Prince Midnight.
So Prince Midnight started, it was quite a long time ago, and I got to give a disclaimer, do not do this, but there's a plant in Florida called the Angel's Trumpet. Have you heard of that?
Yes, so yes,
I
absolutely.
I boiled this flower and I drank it with this other guy. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible idea. So yep. I was riding my bike down the road and I fell into a ditch. It was a complete disaster. But when this happened, I got up and I pulled myself and I went to the local bar, and I was just out of my mind. They threw me out and I met this chick in the alleyway. Mm-hmm. And we fell fast in lust, let's just say.
Very nice.
She revealed to me that she was a demon. And so
it happens. It does happen. I've had several women tell me that they're demons.
Well, this one, let's just say, revealed her wings and the shadow cast over me as I was laying on my back. And it was quite dramatic, actually.
Oh, my. Were her wings the labia? Maybe that's the labia.
No, that's a good one. But no, they were actually... Oh. They were owl wings, and she turned out to be an infernal demon named Andros, who appears both male and female, but she appeared to me as a female.
One of the highest level demons. That is actually true. I know that it's a high level demon.
Yeah, high level. Andros is a duke. I think she has about 40 infernal legions of demons under her control. So the record is really just the telling of the story, and you know, I could go through every song, but it is a concept album that tells the story of my journey on Angel's Trumpet.
Wow.
Which I woke up in a hospital about 3 days later. And then, I wrote down what happened, and that's the reality that this album is written based on.
That's incredible. All good albums start with being in the hospital, I think.
Sometimes some of them do. I had a friend that did Angel's Trumpets and woke to them covering themselves in bleach and a bed in bleach because they believed it had been entirely covered in cockroaches. It's like one of those fun things.
I guess I'm totally misunderstanding what is it? The horny trumpet? What's it called?
It's Angel's Trumpet.
Angel's Trumpet. And that
is an extremely powerful psychedelic. It makes acid, peyote, all that stuff look like child's play. It really throws you through a hoop for a few days, you know?
Absolutely. He almost got married to a demon.
That is incredible. What a hell of a drug. So you woke up in the hospital bed. I'm assuming that you're extremely traumatized. And then at what point did you decide to put together this unbelievable collaboration of musical genius?
Yeah, wait, how do you start to go? How does the idea get birthed of taking a skeleton and putting it into a guitar?
This album came about, I was in a great depression, as you know, many of us have experienced. It was the first what I would call, you know, a clinical depression. Like I had trouble getting out of bed. I couldn't put a smile on my face.
Yes.
And my partner bought me, of all things, and maybe this goes to show how well they know me, bought a xylophone, and I got obsessed with it, and I would play it constantly, and I just would not put it down. And then finally, I was like, I want to upgrade this. I want to get a steel marimba or a vibraphone. So then, I got a vibraphone. So then I started exploring all the great vibraphone ensembles in the jazz scene. Like you got Les Baxter, you got Arthur Lyman,
Dave Brubeck.
Yeah. So I started playing that. I started playing with some jazz people who I really respected. I had some cool opportunities, and they just kind of didn't flesh out. So I said, I'm going to make my whole own record. And having explored vibraphone music quite a bit, I know no one had ever created a heavy metal record on a vibraphone, which is the most heavy metal instrument, right?
Love
it's literally all metal. What's more metal?
I love it.
It's so a very physically heavy instrument.
Yeah. I just love, also, talk about a genius. You are a genius, Prince Midnight. That's who we're talking to right now. You said more metal.
It's more
metal. It's like 9 minute abs, 5 minute abs, more metal. You brought more metal to metal. Is just that is genius.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really proud of that record. Composed it, released it. It's the first vibraphone heavy metal record. So I hope you enjoy it. I think it's not like any other record ever created. And it's earnest.
I know. I like that idea that it's earnest. Yeah. Yeah. You're going for it.
Yeah. A couple articles made it seem like, oh, this guy whipped together a record. I'm like, dude, I spent like a year orchestrating that. It has like live violin, vibraphone, timpani. I mean, I'm really proud of it. So
yeah, people think we're just two fucking stupid fat-bodied morons in front of fucking microphones. You know what I mean? And they don't understand the process that we have.
Yeah,
like who we are as artists. I mean, you know, I am being facetious, but also
sure,
there is a process here.
I get it. Yeah, man. Yeah. People think they can pick up a mic and do a podcast, but
they're wrong.
I was leaning on a box that just collapsed under my
weight. Yeah, we saw that happen.
You don't got to bust the mystery, man. You could have fallen on a pile of bones.
You just collapsed. Well, let's speak about bones. So obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the skeleton guitar.
Yes, and there's a controversy about it. People want to poke holes in the story, which I get a little miffed about because I love legend.
Of course. And I know that you've actually talked about this before on Instagram, actually. You said that you would like to thank the U.S. State Department for helping me understand the process when it comes to music. Was that, or what did the U.S. State Department help you understand?
My Uncle Phillip's remains only came into my life recently. Some other interviewers talked to me as if like I've been their caretaker for the last 30 years, which I haven't.
Okay.
So his family took care of that, whatever. He donated his body to university. They, you know, what they do in college, they skin it or whatever, use the bones as like a classroom skeleton.
Yeah.
But over here, you become anonymous when that happens. But in Greece, they're staunchly Greek Orthodox. So how your remains are disposed of is a really serious thing. So they keep your name attached to the skeleton.
That's nice.
So then the skeleton ends up at the cemetery, which are super overcrowded in Greece because no one gets cremated because of the aforementioned reasons. So then it ends up in like a mausoleum type thing where they just have rows of boxes with bones and they charge you every month to house these.
Oh yeah, we have, even here technically you have to purchase like a slot for your bones to go in because the capitalism doesn't stop.
I'm getting muddled. Muddle me and blow me into the wind. That's what I say.
Yeah, so then eventually, you know, his family didn't want to pay for it, or my mom had to start paying for it when his parents passed, and then she didn't want to pay it anymore, and I'm like, we have to be able to get these remains. Like, they can't make us, you know, like they can't hold us over our heads forever. So I called the U.S. State Department. They said, you got to get a funeral director roped in. It's a real convoluted process, a lot of paperwork. And then the remains come. And the funeral home, I think, thought that this was going to be like a full corpse.
They thought it would be like have meat on it.
Well, you know, the funeral directors, they get so horny for the new corpse.
They
and then
a
just
corpse.
A pile of bones coming in.
Corpse smells like money to them.
Exactly.
Hey, we all go into our careers for different reasons, right?
That is very true.
Are you planning on using this guitar? So because obviously they don't want to believe in the guitar because they don't want to believe in something that's past their understanding.
It's right there.
I'm looking at it.
See it up close?
Up close. It does look like bones. Like, you can really see the bone, like,
it's real. It's totally fucking real.
Yeah, I wish I could touch it.
So
this is like paper mache, I think, or something.
Yeah, where they covered it up.
No, this is not real. This is like,
they like filled it in.
Right, they fill in the bones. I would assume it shattered in transit.
This is like cartilage normally. So they've remade it out of paper mache. And so then these are all the bones, and this is also paper mache in between the vertebrae. Wow.
So when you went to the State Department, or when you called them and you said, I'm getting a bunch of bones from Greece, was it? I think it was Greece.
Yeah.
What was so that was something that they do. They do that every day. Or were they just like, oh yeah, of course, go to our bones department.
How many people die a second? You know what I mean? Like, people die out of the country every day that are U.S. citizens, and they got to go through the same repatriation process. Except these funeral directors who do it are used to getting a body. So
right.
This dude opens the box and it's just a skeleton. And he's like, well, what do you want to do with this? You want to cremate? You want to bury it? Or like, do you just want it? Because they're not obligated to do anything because it's medically prepared. So it's like getting a couch, you know, it's.
Wow. Because it doesn't smell or anything, right? Like, it's kind of, it just, is it like antiseptic? Like the way you'd.
I don't know how they prepare the bones, but I don't smell anything on it or anything. And
so it's quite a leap to get the bones. You got the bones all the way from Greece.
Sure.
You're going through the proper steps. You went to the U.S. State Department to get the damn thing. You open up the pile of bones. The guy's all like, I wish it was human flesh for me to play with. And you're like, no, I'm going to take that. And then what triggered in your mind to say, not only will I take this, I'm going to make this the world's sickest freaking guitar.
So one thing is the state attorney's office, who's separate from the U.S. Whatever. They're two different departments. They were called me back and they told me that I was allowed to have it because everyone's like, you're not allowed to have it. I'm allowed to have it, but I'm not allowed to do anything with it. I'm not allowed to trade it for anything. I'm not allowed to sell it or get a favor for it. So they say, as long as it doesn't, the term he used was valuable compensation. He says,
okay.
As long as you don't exchange it for valuable compensation, you are permitted to keep the skeleton.
Okay. And so then you're like, well, the most metal fucking thing in the world would be turn this into a fucking guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. Uncle Philip was super big metalhead. I was a little kid in like the '90s in the death metal scene. There was also a big underground grindcore and hardcore punk scene, you know, like Assuck, Reversal of Man, Scrog, with all these underground like metal bands that put, you know, they played in like warehouses and stuff. And, Yeah, Scrotum Grinder, they're another one. Yeah, so these are real bands.
No, really, yeah, I bet, dude.
I love
them. No, fuck yeah, dude. No, I'm inspired by this story because I love the idea of trying to, I think heavy metal should be fucking heavy. I like the idea of coming, like Watain, when you go to that, you will get covered in actual blood.
Yeah, pig's blood.
I sit in the back.
Dangerous. Yes.
Because my J's are too nice.
I won't even sit front row at a Weird Al concert, let alone something like where I'll get covered in pig's blood.
But I like the concept of it so much because I like the idea of people being afraid to go to a concert.
Well, speaking of fear, have you found these bones to be haunted at all? Because usually, or sometimes when you bring in something different, especially something that had a traumatic end, because I'm reading here about your Uncle Philip, RIP, by the way, truthfully, it's the Philip guitar.
Yes.
Now. He was killed. It was a car accident, I believe. And
yeah, he died in Greece in a car accident.
I feel like that happens a lot in Greece. It sounds like they have a lot of squiggly streets there.
It's small streets because they're ancient, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of islands. But
skinny people because of all the olive oil.
That is true. They're beautiful people. Did you find the bones when you opened up the box? Were they shattered at all, or were you just like, this is perfect for a guitar right away? I mean, this is a crazy thing to make into a guitar.
So I got the box. It was a big, huge box, and it was mostly padding. When I got down to it, the bones were a small, kind of all mashed together. But the skeleton right here, the skeleton was all still together, the ribs down to the pelvis.
Sweet.
And everything else had been kind of disassembled. And I had it laying in my room, and I was just hanging out, and I was just listening to heavy metal, thinking about Uncle Phil. And I was like, man, what is the best way to honor this dude? And I'm thinking, oh, maybe if I like go to like the Brass Mug, which is like a heavy metal bar, and like spread his ashes. And then I'm like, I'm not trying to plug like bars or anything. I'm just telling you the truth.
No, sure, of course. Sure. We talk about bars
are
all the
like
time.
Iconic to a Tampa metalhead. So,
of course.
So anyway, so I'm thinking of all these ideas, and then I'm like, man, has anyone made a guitar out of a skeleton? So I did some research, asked a couple buddies, asked my buddy who works at Dean Guitars, and they're all come back to me. They go, no one's ever done it. And I'm like, why not? And then,
Seriously, dude. Like, honestly, why not?
I can give you like a couple of reasons why not, but okay.
Yeah, I guess there's maybe some ethical boundaries you gotta be willing to cross.
I guess so, dude. That's fucking really heavy metal. I don't know what to, I thought that was the whole point.
And this is a very, actually, this is a very sweet way to honor your Uncle Philip.
Yeah. So the Dean guitarist friend of mine, who I'm not going to name, and because he kind of got, he bugged out. He didn't want to, he got his hands on it and he was like, dude, I didn't know this was like real. Like, you're really doing this. He's like, I can't drill into this. I can't. He like totally freaked out. Okay. He's like, and I think my work will be bummed out. And I'm like, dude, your boss played guitar deicide. Like,
it's true, man.
Like, where's the moral objection? But, you know, so he flaked out. And so I tried a bunch of different ways. So what part of it are you interested? How I did it or what?
No, I mean, I'm looking at it because it does seem to be, it's interesting how it, I don't know how it holds acoustics as well. Like, that seems to be the main obstacle.
Yeah, because of all the ribs.
But truly, like, normally you want like a shell that allows the sound to all bounce around. Like, it does definitely have a very specific sound.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the rest, normally a guitar resonates in this. You can feel because you're leaning, as you can see, you're kind of like in the rib cage and you're touching a lot of the bones. And they shake. They shake in a way that's almost like it's alive. It's almost
that's cool.
Like, you know, you see a Frankenstein, and they give him the electric shock, and he comes to life.
Yeah.
This is like the real life version. I can feel Uncle Phil in every chord I play on the guitar.
Man, can you imagine?
That's cool.
And I don't mean to disparage your honestly your Uncle Phil, but can you imagine if you did all this and he like had molested you a bunch as a little boy, and every single time you played it, it's like you're bringing him back to life?
No, that's not the case. Really.
No, I know that's not the case. I know that that's not the case. I'm just saying.
So
like,
you're
imagining
more of like a demon, and then he would be spawned, and then he would theoretically re-molest him. That's your idea.
Was an idea. I'm just pitching here.
That's great.
Hey, you know that. Yeah, that's not my personal story, but I, you know.
Thank you, Prince Midnight, for even dealing with that.
I love you, man.
For even dealing with that.
I don't want to make
this question.
No, I don't want to make Belphamore mad at me. I specifically don't want to make Belphamore upset with me.
No, do not. I can't defend you against him. He works out.
Please, sir.
Anyway, when it comes to the guitar, though, I do have a question. When you mentioned something about how your boy that worked at the guitar store, they're called guitar stores, right?
Sure.
The music store. He was like, no, I can't do it. You kind of broke metal then, right? You sort of like broke. Did the metal community surprise you with people being like, ugh, like that's gross? Or were they more just like, that's metal? Because it's hard to out metal the metal world.
Yes.
Yeah, I think one news article I read said before this, the most metal thing was Ozzy biting the head off a bat.
Yeah, dude, Woo! He didn't even mean to do that. He thought it was a fake bat.
And now the Skelecaster has outdone him. So, Ozzy, give me a call, man. I'm your new Randy Rhodes.
All out of ladies, Holland, Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon.
Nailed it.
All right, this is not gotcha journalism, but I do want to ask you, do you know Odilon Ozare? The man that they're so, the Tampa Bay Tribune has labeled, they said that you might be also, not just Prince Midnight, but you might also be a man named Odilon Ozare that holds two Guinness World Records for longest nails and world's longest hat. And I honestly don't think that, I don't mean to insult you in any way, shape, or form.
I don't think that you should be allowed to hold a record for the world's longest hat because you can just make hats.
You're talking to the person who might actually, because the artist.
Okay.
Whoever is an artist, have you ever heard of this man? Do you know this man?
The only reason I've heard about it is because Chris Spada, who's the writer who contacted me from the Tampa Bay Times.
Yes.
He mentioned it to me. And I said, dude, that guy doesn't look anything like me. One. And two, if someone's going to go through the trouble of getting Guinness records, wouldn't they want you to know about it? Like,
I mean, that's, you know? It does hold.
That
it
does hold some water.
I look at him because, you know, the thing is that both of you are just, it's these two people that do kind of live in disguises as well. So you can see how the art can permutate and change.
I don't know him that well. Is he in a disguise? I don't even know.
He's just got he's got a fake mustache on. He has got glasses and he's got a wig on. Like, he does have a long-haired wig.
He sort of looks like Bob Zamuda.
He does look like Bob Samuda, and it's also very similar to Bob Samuda in terms of tactics,
yes.
In terms of wigs, glasses, mustache. Bob Zmuda was big in that. Also, Bob Zmuda for many years. Andy Kaufman even stopped being
Tony Clifton
for many, many years because Bob Zmuda just took over and did the whole thing, which I think makes him incredibly brilliant.
It was brilliant, and he got to be super mean to people, and everyone was like, it's Andy, and Bob was just like, at the end of the show, he's like, it's just Bob, which is cool.
I'm not interested in getting you here, because okay. I honestly like these two men, but I do wish I could have the two of you together physically fighting each other.
Something. We could have both of us on.
We could also, and then there was another person here, this Justin Arnold
Justin
character.
Arnold, but Justin Arnold has no flair. Justin Arnold seems to be just a man that he, not at the same level as Prince Midnight, is.
Well, no one is.
Ozzy Lanozare, who apparently he's never heard of you, who says that he only listens to Babs. He does not listen to death metal. So that also puts him out of the running. And Justin Arnold, he made the two-headed crocodile that made the Tampa Bay Times. That's what got him. Because they didn't like to be, they were upset because they thought they would have a two-headed crocodile on their hands.
Right.
And then they're just, because, you know, they were also the first ones to, they were the first ones to call 9/11.
So, I don't know if that's true.
That's
so,
true. They guessed it like 2 weeks ahead of time.
That's
and I was
so
like,
weird.
Why are you doing this, Tampa Bay?
How does it feel, Prince Midnight, to be accused by such a reputable newspaper as the Tampa Bay Times?
Why are you talking about the Tampa Bay Times is a good newspaper?
Oh, it's just fantastic.
We have to fight for Tampa Bay.
How does that make you feel? Do you feel like as if they're trying to steal your identity from you?
The biggest thing that bothered me is because I didn't make this guitar as like a publicity stunt.
No, you did this to be cool as fuck.
No, I just did it. I didn't contact all the news to tell them about it. They kind of portrayed it as if I did this as some kind of like stunt, and I'm like, I just posted this on my Instagram. I think I had like 50 followers.
Wow.
It just kind of, people caught on to it, thought it was a good idea. And so, you know, I read the TBT and I respect Chris Bauta. I think he's, you know, a great writer, but in this case, you know, I think he's wrong.
Yeah,
and
dude.
I don't think he put in any absolute terms in that article. He's just
no. He's floating an idea, and I think that's really important. But I like the idea of floating the idea and people like, because who knows, man?
Well,
knows?
Is that the job of journalism, though? I would argue no.
Wow.
So it seems as if Mr. Sparta might not, he might not be on the up and up.
Whoa.
Well, the only thing I'll say is, you know, to say that I did something that great that Odilon did, maybe would offend Odilon. I don't care. You can tell him that I cured the blind and turned water into wine for all I care. But, you know, that other, you know, person may be upset that you took a little away from him. You know,
I think that's true. I think Odilon Ozari is a lot realer than Jesus Christ.
I think that's extremely possible. You know what's so amazing? I'm actually looking at a Vice article. We read this in the Tampa Bay Times. And these articles, they are not short. I have read shorter articles on immigration.
About Joe Biden.
And Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, no, there's a lot more investigation into you versus why no one's gotten stimulus like money.
There is so much
COVID.
Why do you think that is? Because, I mean, you've been talking, you know.
You're full of candor.
Why do you think the media has just seen this and they're rolling with it?
I don't know. I think that, I guess at first, you know, I didn't really realize that it would be such a big deal. But now that I'm here, I'm, you know, obviously it was more profound than what I originally conceived, just trying to honor my uncle privately.
Dude.
And I don't know why they invest a lot of... You're saying the article's real long? I don't know. I skimmed through it, and
I tell you what, man, you got us to listen to the album, and I honestly think that it's important. Is that the idea of having a pure metal idea that cuts through the noise, I think, is very important right now, because I think metal is it's helped countless human beings. It's helped me in my life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how many times I've been through fucking hard times.
Well, you're one of those guys that calms down to metal.
Yes.
And that's what I've learned. Some of the most chill dudes, you're like, what you listening to? And then it's just like, I killed your mother, I killed your mother, I killed your mother. You're like, that's interesting.
It gets out. So I think anything that spreads the fucking sweet word of metal to farther people is great. I think that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
So congrats. Honestly, that's all I got to say is fucking congrats, man. I think that the attention is actually really nice because it's something creative. You did something creative
and
something that people maybe necessarily don't understand.
Have your contemporaries been happy with this news, or do they think, oh, this is just a gimmick? Are you getting some blowback for like, oh, he's just a gimmick. He's a character worker. He's not a real metal guy.
No, I mean, I've been going to metal shows in Tampa since about like 1991. So I don't know how anyone would say that I'm not the real deal.
Technically, he needs to headbutt you if you say
absolutely.
That to him. He has to physically attack you in the show.
I mean, look, I got a concussion on the Deicide Legion tour, so I've been around for a couple of years.
Do you plan on building an entire kit, an entire like drum set, a bass guitar, all out of bones? Because that could work. You could get a sweet ass cow bone. Yes, it would be fragile.
Because I was going to ask that about the bone guitar. How do you play it on stage? Like, I honestly think that moving it from back and forth might actually be not a good idea.
Bones can be pretty strong, though.
Yeah, they're not too weak, and I built it so I can put it back together if it breaks, you know?
Sweet.
Yeah, I think we haven't played live with it, so Belphegor is probably going to play it live. Maybe I'll jam it on a little bit.
Hell yeah.
You know, says of Corona, there's not a lot of shows, but no. I really look forward to there's going to certainly be a great theatrical element to our show.
I love it.
I'd really like to tell the story of traveling to the underworld and fighting demons and performing arts context, you know, with maybe some dancing and acting and try to incorporate things that are not traditionally very heavy metal, like the vibraphone. That's kind of my goal with my art is, you know, so many people say, I'm going to start a metal band or I'm going to start a punk band. And right. they're so rigidly adhere to that. It's like, you should say, I want to start a band that is metal, but also like, how can I do it in a way no one's done it before? So that's absolutely. Kind of my, that's metal, the way I'm kind of approaching it all.
Metal's a vibe. You know what I mean? More than anything else. And I think that's, I appreciate the spirit. I know I'll fucking see the show.
I'd be in the back row because I'm not allowed in the front row and I'm too big to mosh. So I will be in the back with my back against the wall, but I will love every second of it. It reminds me when I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at a place called the Cactus Club, Captured by Robots. Did you ever see this performance, Art?
No.
It was a man who did, it was fantastic. He had a bunch of different robots, obviously, on stage and he told a story. It was
really
fun. I love really
that. Gwar is like, to me, the ultimate example of it. Like,
this is Gwar-esque. You could do something like that, but I like the organic nature of the bones being surrounded by bones, and nothing is more metal than bones. And I mean,
except
for the vibraphone.
You kind of nailed it on the head because I've seen Captured by Robots. That was like mid-90s, maybe.
Yeah,
late
that
90s.
Was.
Yeah,
I saw them in 2003. The guy was already a bit up in age, but he was the sweetest dude, and he crushed it. And we had so much fun.
Yeah, so I'm like inspired by, you know, people like him and people who do a little bit of extra for the live show. I think it's fun. And, you know, the guys in Gwar, I've met all those guys before. You know, they do a different thing that I'm looking to do.
Sure.
But they all come from an underground, punk underground, metal underground scene. They were all in great underground bands in the 80s before Gwar. So, you know, they have my respect and the respect of the whole metal community, despite, you know, maybe being a little tongue in cheek.
They're fun. But again, I think it's nice to pull back some of the veil and we don't have to always be so fucking hardcore walking into these shows because it comes down to being like, it opens up so you can get like little fat ginger boys that felt weird going because I was afraid at first. And now I know, oh, this is actually where I could be accepted. As long as I have a denim, my proper battle jacket, then I can be accepted.
Yeah, man, you're welcome. Yeah, for sure. These scenes are all really welcoming and, yeah, Richmond, where Gwar's from, is a great heavy metal scene. I played shows there before, so hope to go back next year.
Well, dude, we can't thank you enough for taking the time.
Absolutely.
And rolling with us today, man.
And Prince Midnight, I do have to say, your final quote here that you gave in Vice, I found it to be very powerful, talking about how many figures throughout history have all sought physical immortality, but they all died. And then he says, and then Prince Midnight says, I'd argue that most of them have obtained immortality through the legends we tell about them. I would be satisfied with that kind of immortality. Maybe a part of me will live on forever alongside Philip in the legend of the Scalacaster.
Fuck yeah, dog.
One last thing. We just shot a video, so I'll send that to you guys when it gets edited.
Yes.
We filmed, I found a cave that no one knew about in this woods. It's like a sinkhole. And I mean, it had an opening like this big. So we all squeezed in there. And we
shot
a video with some real talented artists, Deke and Gigi, and they do a thing called Sidetracked with with a little hyphen D at the end. Anyways, they're like film artists in Tampa, and I'm super grateful for their participation because we're creating something pretty visually crazy, especially. Dude, I don't think anyone's ever played in a cave before. We brought like generators and like in this cave, I was like, we're going to die in here, man. But we did it.
No, I'll definitely pump that video, man. Absolutely. Thank you so much, man. Hell yeah.
Live from your grave.
All right. There it was, our conversation with Mr. Midnight. What a wonderful man with wonderful
friends. Is Prince his first name?
I'm not sure what his first name is. I don't want to know.
Balfamagor? That guy was very big.
He was. Honestly, again, check out our Patreon if you want to see them on
full regalia.
Yeah, on the little screen or big screen or wherever the hell you're watching the program on our Patreon. But they were unbelievably sweet.
So fucking sweet.
Anywho, we got some emails.
Let me just read this one email, okay, because we got to send in. I want you guys to understand that we talk about Garfield Eats quite a bit on the show.
Way too much.
I don't know how it got there, but apparently there was a whole reality universe within Garfield Eats. So this got discovered by a listener, and this is why you guys are great. I'm not normally one to do things like write into podcasts, but I feel like I have fallen down the Garfield Eats rabbit hole, and I need the whole world to see what I have seen.
Oh, my.
I am from Toronto, Canada, home of the world's first Garfield-themed restaurant, Garfield Eats. The restaurant has recently closed. Their food was god-awful. But its owner, Nathan Masri, has just started his next project, Scooby-Doo Eats. I was totally floored by this information, because what kind of psychopath opens two cartoon themed restaurants?
Yeah.
So I did some digging. This man, Nathan Masri, is quite the character. It turns out he has written a self-help memoir. He's produced a few films and just recently released an episode for a Garfield Eats reality show on his YouTube channel that's called Masri Pictures. The reality show produced by him follows him around the Garfield theme restaurant he created. He also wrote and recorded the theme song for the show. The title of the show is Love Me, Feed Me, Don't Leave Me with Nathan Masri.
Oh,
I can't tell if this man is trolling or if he's a genuine narcissist. I don't know about that, but he's not Nathan Masri at all and all the bullshit. So I want you to hear this song.
Okay. This is for Scooby-Doo Eats?
This is new for the now defunct Garfield Eats reality television show.
Okay.
Love me, feed me. Don't leave me.
This is not metal.
It's got pizzas. It's got a Garfield feed cummerbund.
Don't leave me.
I'm Nathan Masri. I'm the co-founder of Garfield Eats.
This is 18 minutes long.
Say hello.
Oh, he's got a cat.
Maybe not.
Pizza.
The pizza looked horrible.
Some espresso.
Like a villain.
Very scary.
He is scary.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're in the intro credits
here.
He's
saying this whole thing. Devin's in there.
It's not horrible. Man, the pizza looks horrible.
Wait.
Life is short. Eat now.
Garfield. He got him for the commercial.
You know what?
I think that that's actually probably, he would be massively sued.
Oh, massively, massively
by
sued.
By Jim Davis.
Right? Absolutely. And rightfully so, actually, in a strange way, in this case. Well, no matter how bad the food is, he got a great jingle.
He got a great jingle
and
out of it.
That's an 18-minute sizzle, which, you know, you watch him get a show on Peacock.
He might.
You watch it.
I mean, or he's going to murder somebody. Like, he does have a Luca Magnotta kind of vibe about him.
That's
but I think
vibe.
It's just
yeah.
a Botox.
It really. But honestly, you make a good point.
He's very smooth.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we have a lot coming out of the pipe.
Yes, we do.
We have next week, March 15th, is the opening of LPN Deep Dive's Dunecast.
Woo!
It's coming to you. I hope that you like it.
How are you feeling with Dune? Do you still like it, or is it fully in the line of just you loathe it?
I am Dune.
You are Dune. Okay.
That is just the only way I can even say it. I just am. I have become Dune.
Okay.
And then we have March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Someplace Underneath is coming out. And just so you know, be prepared. These episodes are going to drop on the last podcast feed in Spotify, but they are also going to drop on their own feeds. And we're going to press it. But I just want to get you guys to go check out our fucking bullshit.
Yes.
We've been working really hard, and we hope
that you like our new material.
I think that you guys are going to love it. Everyone does a bang up job. And I hope you guys enjoy the new content. We got some merch, obviously. We got some new products coming down the pipe. Can't wait to tell you all about the THC. We'll get that going at some point here in the near future. And also, we will see you on the road. We'll see you in Grundy County.
We got Grundy. We got one more night Friday. We are coming to you. And again, this shit is very safe. It's outside. We got it's outside. We have cordoned off areas per pod so that no one is anywhere near each other. And we will be far away from each other. Yeah. It's like we're all going to be at a show, but we won't see anyone, you know? Like, it's going to be fun. Yeah. Honestly, I'm incredibly excited. We're very excited to start our new material, and let's get this shit.
No idea what the material will be, but it'll be wonderful. All right,
yeah,
everyone.
What will it be?
Thank you all so much for living.
Every day. Because unfortunately, because if you don't live every day, you're dead.
That
and
is
if
true.
You don't laugh every day, it's wasted.
That is true.
Because if you just spend your life crying, don't you get thirsty?
You would, dehydrated.
It's all the water. And then, honestly, in Dune, water is very precious. And if you cry for someone, you're shedding water for the dead, which actually means quite a bit. Especially if you're Paul, and you're in the middle of the fucking funeral that you didn't understand all the things that you had to do, but you have to watch everybody else, how they act. Because if you don't act in accordance to what the freemen think the way you're going to act, then they're not going to think that you're the Lisan al-Ghaib.
That's great. And everything will make sense later after you listen to Dune.
I don't think it will.
Okay.
And then you have to love. You have to love your job. You know why? Because if you don't love your job, then no one's going to love it for you.
In Russia, job loves you. All right. Thank you all.
This is great.
This is great. Thank you all so much for being with us this week. Hope you're doing all right out there.
Yes.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everybody.
Hail me.
Indeed. Be safe. And pick up an instrument today. Pick up an instrument.
Why not? If it's yours.
Yes, don't steal an instrument.
Don't
steal an instrument from a child. All right.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.